There are some mistakes that most moms make at some point in their journey of rearing their children. For example, mothers have left a Sharpie or a container of sugar unattended. Mothers have put white pants on a toddler. You must not do this more than 5 seconds before you want to take their picture. To give $20 for the first tooth fairy visit, and then assume that $1 per tooth thereafter will be acceptable. You kind of want to start off small, you know what I mean? And then one more, mothers having the confidence that they can help their children with their math, especially as they get older. We have a seventh grader, and she loves math. I mean, she says she wants to major in math when she goes to college. Her mom did. Her dad has his PhD in math, and that's straight math. So you know she has some math genes. But we can't even help her with her problems now. But these are some things that you don't want to maybe make repeat as far as mistakes as you're raising your children. But one thing that we can do, and we can do very well, is pray for our mothers. Mothers need our prayers. And we find the prayer that I want us to all pray for our mothers from the passage of Scripture that Pastor Beck read earlier, Ephesians chapter 3. And I want us from this portion of Scripture to challenge each of us to pray this prayer for your mom. You say, well, my mom is gone. Well, pray this prayer for maybe some mother that you know, some mother that might be going through a tough time. This will be the best gift you can give her. You say, well, I've already promised her a car wash. I've already promised her favorite dessert. I've already promised that I will clean my room. Children, make your bed. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you made your bed this morning? Every morning, have the character to make your bed. I don't hear any amens. But one thing I want us all to do to make sure we keep this promise, and that is to pray for our moms. And these are the points I want us to keep in mind as we pray for our moms. Number one, pray for strength for your mom. Pray for faith for your mom. Pray for love, that your mom will experience God's love. And pray that your mom will experience God's fullness. Well, Paul begins his prayer in chapter 3, verse 14, with the words, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, what moved Paul to not stand, which was the usual prayer posture, especially at that time, but to kneel, indicating an unusual heart passion before God? Well, two realities. First, because of the sublime truth that the Gentiles are also a part of the body of Christ. They are part of the church. You know, you have the Jews, the Gentiles, and then you have the church of God. And Paul was rejoicing that the Gentiles and the Jews together would form the church. And then second, Paul bowed his knee before God because of the soul-healing fatherhood under which Paul rested. Again, you see, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And then such truth moved Paul's heart then to petition God in the following four ways. In other words, he was petitioning God for the church. And because this is Mother's Day, we want to single out the mothers in the application of this prayer for you. Notice, first of all, that Paul prayed for strength. Verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Paul requests, and think about this, that God's children, which includes you, dear mothers, would be strengthened by God's dynamic living power, the Spirit of God, according to His glorious riches. Again, the two elements mentioned here for the strengthening are, number one, God's wealth, His riches. And keep in mind and please understand that God gives not out of His wealth, but He gives according to His wealth. Can we imagine how wealthy He is? He owns everything. And what Paul is praying here is that God would grant you strength according to God's riches. And the agent here that would bring all of this to pass is the Holy Spirit. Moms, God's Spirit is the agent of this divine strength who empowers you according to God's infinite riches, which all means you are being really renewed and divinely empowered so that even though your bodies are growing older, you can be growing spiritually stronger. Your clay vessel can be pulsating with supernatural power. And therefore, you don't have to lose heart. For inwardly, you are being renewed day by day. And moms, we just spent some time with our 3.5-month-old granddaughters. And I am amazed at how much physical and spiritual strength those little ones take. I mean, it's constant. I mean, you need strength. And Paul is praying that you mothers will experience God's supernatural power. And this power, the measure of it is according to His riches. And the agent that brings this power to you is none other than the Spirit of Christ. You don't need to raise your hand, but how many of you get weary? How many of you get tired? How many of you get to the end of the day and you say, boy, I don't know if I can make it? Sons and daughters, pray that your mom will experience this supernatural divine strength. Amen. Petition number two, pray for faith, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. First, your capacity is strengthened, moms, according to His riches, so that, second, you can, by faith, appropriate more and more the life of Jesus, which means you do not see Christ as a mere guest or an occasional visitor, but you make your heart His home, where He can personally and powerfully and permanently and preeminently dwell. The Greek word for dwell refers to a permanent home. Moms, may Jesus be able to call your heart His home. I say by faith, welcome Him, give Him first place. Then what assurance you will have as you parent, because you will be aware of Christ's loving presence with you during the highs and lows of the day. Moms, we pray Christ will dwell in your hearts by faith. And when Christ so dwells in you, then petition number three is possible, which is the prayer for love, which we see in verse 16 through 18, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And here is a prayer for a lifestyle of love. Now, like trees, moms, your lives are to send down deep roots into the soil of love. And like a building, the edifice of your lives is to have a deep, solid foundation of love. And when you are rightly rooted and built on the foundation of love, then nothing will be able to shake you. Remember, love is the greatest, and you will be able to comprehend and grasp the dimensions of Christ's love. I know when there's love in my heart toward my children, toward my grandchildren, toward you, it just changes the dynamic of my spirit towards you. I think the problem with our interpersonal relationships, there's no love there. You kind of get along, or you try to get along, or you just put up with people. What a sad way to live. But when your life is rooted and grounded in love, when your life is built on the foundation of love, then you will be able to experience Christ's love for you and me. You'll grasp its breadth, which extends to all people, a love wide enough to embrace the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You'll be able to comprehend its length, which extends to all time, love long enough to last forever. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says it never fails. If your love is failing, it's not Christ's love. You will be able to grasp its depth, which extends to the lowest condition of human needs, a love that can reach the vilest sinner. We all know how low sinners could go, and yet love lifts sinners. Love gives sinners hope. The depth that God's love, that Christ's love, that your love can go. And then you will be able to understand its heights, which extends to the highest heavens. Love which is high enough to take sinners to heaven. I think of those verses in 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that moment will take place when we are raptured and together and forever will be with the Lord. Moms, this love is key to all the other fruits of the Spirit. I love what Dr. Barnhouse writes here. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Long-suffering is love enduring. Gentleness or kindness is love's touch. Goodness is love's character. Faith or faithfulness is love's habit. Meekness is love's self-forgetfulness. And self-control or temperance is love holding the reins. Now, this love of Christ is truly incomprehensible. It passes knowledge. But even though you cannot fully grasp Christ's love, you can experience it. You can live it out. We pray that you can live it out. You can know this love that doesn't envy, that doesn't boast, that isn't proud or rude, that isn't self-seeking, that isn't easily angered, a love that doesn't keep a record of wrongs. You know, love has a very bad memory. It doesn't delight in evil. A love that rejoices in the truth, that always protects, that always trusts, that always hopes, that always perseveres, because it never fails. And how beautiful, moms, that you can grow not only in an understanding of this love through the study of God's word, but that you can make it the basis for your interpersonal communication and relationships. Might we pray that love graces every aspect of your life. Moms, may your life be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. And then when prayer for strength and faith and love is answered, then petition for prayer for God's fullness will be answered as well, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, how can we understand the fullness with which God fills himself? Well, Colossians 1:19 says, for it pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, we read, for in him dwelleth, in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. In Christ dwells the fullness of God. And when we experience this fullness, then we find our completeness. We find our wholeness, which tells us the fullness of the Godhead comes only in Christ. And so, moms, it's so important for this to be yours, this fullness, this wholeness, this completeness to be yours. You have to make much of Jesus. He has to be your life. He has to be not only your salvation, but your life, which means you need to yield your will, your life, your heart to Him. You open your heart to Jesus. And what happens then? Jesus enters in with His fullness. And the amazing truth here is the more you receive of His fullness, the more you can receive of His fullness. And the word more is really, I think, described so beautifully at the end of, or really in verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And so the God to whom Paul makes these requests has an abundance which exceeds even your capacity for asking or even imagining. And this will be the believer's experience in eternity. This will be the ultimate experience of the soul. Moms, we know you give and you give and you give of yourself. We pray that each of you will be able to know of the filling of the fullness of God. This is not just pie in the sky talk. This is reality. We pray that you will experience the fullness of God. The fullness of Jesus. And then when this amazing theology becomes reality, it becomes doxology. It becomes praise. It becomes adoration. It becomes worship. And so to this great God, Paul declares at the end of chapter 3, unto Him be glory, be praise, be worship, be adoration in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. We, the church, though remaining finite, will keep on expanding in our capacity to experience the fullness of Jesus and to bring glory to Jesus for all eternity. And on this glorious note, Ephesians 3 ends with the affirmation, Amen. Moms, my prayer for you, my hope for you, my desire for you is that God would give you His strength, that God would give you His faith, that God would give you His love, that God would give you His fullness. This is God's life for you. I thank the Lord for every mom who takes their babies and their children on this journey to bring them to the point where they can stand on their own two feet. But your life can be filled with divine strength, with God's faith, with God's love, with God's fullness. This is God's life for you. This is our hope for you. This is our prayer for you. All you sweet and wonderful moms and grandmothers of Westside, this is our desire for you. And may God richly bless you as this prayer is answered. My desire for the mothers of Westside is that every day will be a Mother's Day.